two half stories are better than one. Because in Hanukkah, one of the strange phenomena about looking at the way Chazal and the earliest sources talk about Hanukkah is it seems like we're struck with two half stories. I'm sure you've all learned many times. The Gemara tells the story, Chaf Alpha and Beis, in Masechah Shabbos, at the very beginning of the Hanukkah. So they ask the question, once they've gotten started with the Din of my Hanukkah, what's the story behind Hanukkah? The Gemara tells. Gemara tells that we have a Yom Tov of 8 days, because once upon a time, the days of Hashmonaim, when they had won over the Yevanim, they came into the Heichal, and the Braisa tells in exquisite detail the story of the Neis HaShemen. They came into the Heichal, and they only found one pach of Shemen Tahar, and they lit it, and it lasted for 8 days, a Yom Tov of Hanukkah. That's the story that the Gemara tells in Masechah Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Where else do you have the story of Hanukkah told? In a source in Chazal that we're very, very familiar with, even more familiar than the Gemara and Shabbos. You all know it. Because you all say it. Al-Anisim, right? Al-Anisim. Al-Anisim is part of the Shemoneh Esrei. Al-Anisim is Takanas Chazal. And Al-Anisim tells the story of Hanukkah at length. At length. And it's very familiar. Right? And it tells the story. The Yevanim took away our religious freedom. The Yevanim didn't allow us to practice Torah mitzvahs, and ultimately there was a revolt of the Chashmonaim, and we succeeded. Kadosh Baruch Hu was good to us, and against all military odds, Rav Yaviyatim, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us miraculous military success, the Neis HaMelchama, and then we got to come back to Beis HaMikdash and light menorah. Once again, all the Nisan of Chanukah, and as a result, we have the Yom Tov of Chanukah. The problem is that there's almost no overlap between those two stories. Because if you think about it, Allah Nisan speaks extensively about the Nisan of Chanukah. The oppression, and the inability to practice mitzvahs freely, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us miraculous success, and as an afterthought, became the Beis HaMikdash, we lit Neres HaMenorah. Nothing about the Neis HaShemen. It just mentions that we lit the menorah. And in my Chanukah, it's the exact photo negative, the exact reverse. It mentions Kishe Gavru, when they had military success over the Yevanim. And the Machanka exquisitely tells the story of Neis HaShemen. We don't really mention, we mention in passing that there was a military victory, nothing about being miraculous. Al-Anisim is all about the Neis HaMelchama, and my Chanukah is all about the Neis HaShem. So what's going on? Why can't we tell one whole story? Why are Chazal telling half the story here and half the story there? It's a strange thing. Now, it's really Ma'orer. Another question. Yeah? What's your name? Shneir Zalman. Yeah, what do you say?
Would it make sense at all to say that since the Gemara and Shabbos is the problem that it would be
getting more attention on it? So Shneir says, look, maybe the reason why the Gemara and Shabbos, Kafal from Beis, in this story of my Chanukah, the focus there is all on the Neis HaShemen. So you're saying, as opposed to Al-Nisim, where it's all about the Neis HaMelchama. So Shneir says, maybe it's because Bamei Madlikin is all about Hadlakas HaMenorah. It's all about, please make yourself comfortable. Do I get more chairs? You sure?
Yeah.
So what we're trying to figure out, I'm glad you're here. So we're trying to figure out is we tell the story of Hanukkah twice, two different places. The Gemara tells the story of Hanukkah, and we all tell the story of Hanukkah in the Shemoneh Esrei, in Al-Anisim. But in each place we tell half the story, because there are two halves to the story. There was the military miracle, and then there was the miracle of the oil in the Beis HaMikdash. We never tell the whole thing. And the Gemara tells a story, it tells a story of the Nes HaShemen, the miracle of the oil, mentioned that there was military victory, but no press, no focus, nothing about being miraculous. Now on Nisim, the focus is on the Nes HaMuhammad. The focus is on the military victory. We mentioned that afterwards we went to Nes HaMikdash. So you're saying, well, maybe it's because of context. Maybe the Gemara and Shabbos is talking about Nes HaShemen. Yes. However, that's a good point. That might explain why the Gemara quoted this telling of the story. This telling of the story is an ancient brisa from Megillas Tanis. So you're saying maybe once we have two halves of the story told separately, I understand why the Gemara and Shabbos would quote the version that they focus on Nes HaShemen, because that's the context. But the question is, okay, but going back to Tanan, why not tell the whole story? Why not tell the whole story? Yeah, what do you say?
Al Nisim seems to be focusing on Nes HaShemen. Al Nisim were actually praising Hashem in Hashem the miracle. It sort of seems like that aspect is overshadowing Nes HaShemen.
Ooh, okay, good. Good. You say Al Nisim is about Hodah.
It seems like that's, I guess, the main miracle.
But if that's the main miracle, so why doesn't the Brice of Machanek also focus on if that's the main miracle? You're going to be hard-pressed to say that either one is the Iker if you have Chazal focus and Al-Nisim on one half and Machanek on the other half. So it's going to be hard to say that just like a one-dimensional, this is better than that. This is better than that, so then you only need one version. Apparently there are two different perspectives. So you start talking about Hodah. That's important. Yeah. What's your name?
Shimi.
Yeah.
Al Nisim is in modim.
Al Nisim is in modim.
Sorchein v'gishenu. It's more about like physical salvation over
the Minar Shemah. Ooh, okay. So you say modim is hodah. Modim is hodah. That is, in fact, when the Gemara speaks of the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, the name for the bracha of modim is hodah. It's the thank you bracha. And why not say thank you? So you're right. But why not say thank you v'nei sashamen?
Because modim is more of a physical. It's v'gishenu. It's about like.
Interesting. So you're saying maybe it's because it's physical. Now, is that true? Do we only think for physical things? Maybe, yeah, what do you say?
If I could just respond to Shani on that point. The Gemara by Megillah says the Baruch says that Avodah is Hodah. So if anything, Ner Hanukkah should belong by Hodah. That's Avodah.
Okay, so you're pointing out the Baruch right before Modim is about the Beis HaMikdash. So wouldn't it have been appropriate to have a Beis HaMikdash thing?
You know, the Gemara says Avodah is Hodah. Both and Adah are the same thing. Uh-huh. So both should be by Hodah.
Okay. So it's hard to say. So you're saying it's hard to say that modim, presumably modim we thank for, perhaps modim is, we can thank for physical things, we thank for spiritual things. Right? And we say a bracha, when we see a glorious mountaintop, you go ski the, you know, you go to Colorado to ski, so you make, if you go to Colorado to ski, you make awesome celebrations when you see those gorgeous mountains. You go to the Alps, you make awesome celebrations. You see physical beauty by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the majesty of God in the physical world, you make awesome observations. You see the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the spiritual world, you make a bracha called Birkas HaTorah, or a bracha called Birkas HaErisin. You see the spiritual majesty of a Jewish marriage. So we do respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's physical creation and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spiritual creation. So but you're making a good point about Hodah, we're going to need to work on this some more. Yeah?
Perhaps, just like a whatever came in order, like maybe Al-Hanisim was made right after the battle, so the miracle was still happening while they made the bracha, and then in the brisa they retold the miracle after the miracle stopped, and they realized that it was
So you may be making a point about thinking historically, thinking about timing. Now that's a very interesting point. We don't have time now to look at, there is a Machlokas Rashi Rambam, not our topic today, about how to read the brisa of Maichanaka. If you look at the Rashi's on Chaf Aleph and Beis, you contrast it with the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Gimel Hilchos Chanukah. Rav Zsolti and others point out, it sounds like they have different ways of his reading what it is that the Brice is talking about, and because the Brice was written soon afterwards. Take a look, you'll see what is missing from the Brice according to Rashi. That's a separate sugya, not for now, but if you're interested in homework, I would take a look at that. And then what's missing from the Brice according to Rashi? And compare it with the Rambam, and there's something fascinating going on. Now, Al Hanisim, you're saying, Al Hanisim was written before they had lit the menorah? So the problem is that Brisa, the Al Hanisim does mention They came in the past tense. Then they came in. They came back to this. And they lit the menorah. So it's gonna be, you're gonna be hard pressed, right? Get those guys some chairs. Get some chairs. Get comfortable. Please. Thank you. Yeah, just come back. So let me give you another kasha. Sometimes they pile on more kashas than that helps. The Pnei Yeshua and the Maharal, Pnei Yeshua and on Sefer Shabbos, and Maharal in the Sefer Ner Mitzvah, which is about Inyan Hanukkah, so they both ask the following question. Pnei Yeshua asks in a very pointed way. There later Achron will ask it as well. But it's often famous as the Pnei Yeshua's question. It says, if thinking about the two halves of the story, do we really even need both halves of the story? Did we need both Nisan? The Neis HaMelchama was necessary to save us. The Neis HaShemen, you know, the Rambam and the Ramban both have a principle in several places in their writings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do any Neis that he wants to. He created the universe. He controls nature. He could suspend nature at will, but we see that he chooses generally not to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by design, chose to create a world that would be patterned, that would be rhythmic, that would follow certain laws which he himself created, laws of mathematics and physics and chemistry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a natural order, and that's why he created the world that way. Every once in a while, for specific reasons, to accomplish specific objectives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose to temporarily suspend the natural order thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much. Kadosh Baruch Hu will make yourself comfortable. Kadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes choose to suspend science and make an ace. But Kadosh Baruch Hu could do it randomly, but we see that he has decided not to. And Ramban point that typically a Kadosh Baruch Hu does an ace to solve a problem, a physical problem. Someone's in danger, Klal Yisrael are in danger, or particular individuals are in danger, Kadosh Baruch Hu will at times, not always, but at times the Kadosh Baruch Hu will perform an ace to save us. So the Neis HaMelchama fits that well. If God wants a natural world, but will do miracles sometimes do miracles to solve problems, the Neis HaMelchama makes good sense. Here you have this small band of Jews facing an overwhelming force of the Syrian heirs to Alexander's empire. It's Rabban Biyad Miatim, totally outsized. Like if you read, if you want to get a little bit of a sense of things that you know people who saw Nisim that looked a little bit like this, you read the history of the war in 1967, you read 6 days of war, you begin to get some sense of what the Neis HaMelchama must have looked like. Mom, it's like little bands of guerrillas against world superpower, and somehow, when all the dust settles, there were casualties. When all the dust settles, Nisan flows, the Chashmonaim won. So we understand the purpose of the Neis HaMelchama. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Jews to survive and thrive. So the only way was Nisan. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Jews to survive and thrive in 67. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Jews to survive and thrive 2,500 years ago. So we understand the Neis HaMelchama. But the question is, what was the point? What was the purpose of the Neis HaShemen? Why? We all know Kadosh Baruch Hu, they light the oil for one day and it lasts for 8 days. But God doesn't do miracles just because. So what was the point? Some Achronim asked the question in a technical way. That under those circumstances, they could have used Tamei oil. Alternatively, Pnei Yeshua says, they wonder about the menorah. Since when does God do Nisim to enable us to do mitzvahs? I tried. I couldn't. We have no choice. We have one day's worth of oil. We light it. When it runs out, we wait until the next batch of oil comes. And a week later, we'll light the menorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do any Nis that he wants to. But as the Rambam and Ramban point out, as mentioned before, he generally only will do an ace to solve a problem, typically to save us. So what was the purpose of the Neis HaShem? What was accomplished by the Neis HaShem? We don't find in Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim to enable Jews to do mitzvahs. That's not a typical pattern. So that's question number two. Question number one, again, was why are Chazal always telling half the story of Hanukkah, either this half or that half? Neis HaShem and Neis HaMelchama. How come My Hanukkah only focuses on Nes HaShemen, only someone focuses on Nes HaMelachah. That was question number one. Question number two is, forget about how it's told, think about the content, the story itself. Not why did Chazal write, but why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to do a Nes HaShem? What was the purpose? What was being accomplished? Yeah.
Maybe it was to save us. You know, if there was like an army of only 10 people, but there were more than 10 Jews, and the fact that other Jews
weren't
killed, maybe it was to save us. Maybe the other Jews
lost
over or something like that.
So the Nes HaMelachah was to save us. But the Nes HaShemen, the war is done. Chashanah, come back to Beis HaMikdash. We're victorious. We have political control now. And now we have the freedom to practice Torah Mitzvahs. So we come to Beis HaMikdash. We begin to bring Karbanos. And we begin to light the menorah. So we ran out of oil. Okay, so then in Mirtzah Hashem, in a week, we'll have oil. We'll continue doing everything else. We'll continue keeping mitzvahs. Okay. And since when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't see him just to avoid that? Really? Huh? There's a lot going on. There are plenty of other mitzvahs, including the Beis HaMikdash. They're bringing carbon tamid every day. Remember, live animals don't become tamid. Live animals not makabel tumah. So you can be makriv, if you have sheep, you can be makriv carbon tum, you can be makriv other karbanos. And they may have had ketoros also, we don't know. The oil they didn't have, okay, so they wouldn't have a lakas haminorah. So we assume that lakas haminorah is so central because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did an ace, that lakas haminorah. But what was the point? What was the great gain? The Nes HaMelachah had a clear objective, a clear accomplishment. What was the accomplishment of Nes HaShem? What do you say?
Maybe it was also to save the Jews, meaning a spiritual sense, maybe. After the Ivanians started banning mitzvahs and stuff, Jews started falling into maybe starting to not, and that was becoming habitual. And then after the Nes HaMelachah, they needed the Nes HaShem to see still that Hashem was still there on a spiritual side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're picking up that thread. Okay, let's come back to that in a moment. Yeah?
So I was going to say something a little similar, but basically it's not that Hashem's doing the Nes that they can fulfill the mitzvah, because in Mar Sotho, when they say that when Yoshua captured it to Israel, so we know that the sun stayed up in Giva. So Hashem didn't make the sun stay up so that they could fulfill the mitzvah of mitzvah. Hashem made the sun stay up so that they could win the war, which helped accomplish something which also was a mitzvah. So I think here, Hashem didn't make them find the oil just to get the mitzvah of lighting the menorah one more day, but it was something bigger, meaning that as crazy as it was, a big win, you could still say, like, oh, whatever, they won. Like, there are upsets in sports, there's upsets and everything. Maybe they won, or maybe it wasn't that. But now that he's finding the oil, it's kind of like Chaim says, like you're lighting something, like the final touch. So it's not that he's doing like the mitzvah of lighting the menorah so important, I'm going to make a nace instead of lighting the menorah. It represents something more, which also happens to be a mitzvah.
Okay, so let's put this together. And we mentioned before 1967. You read the accounts of 67, it's hard not to see, not Nisan Gluy Mamish, no, suspension, not that gravity stopped working, but such obvious Nisan is done. And in fact, in the aftermath of 67, there was an incredible resurgence in Jews being proud of being Jewish, in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. It was the catalyst for a tshuva movement. But at the same time, there were plenty of people who said, okay, that was impressive. That was cool. Well, whatever. The Jews got lucky. You could look at the Nes Nister, and say, wow. You could look at the Nes Nister and say, I could be sarcastic and cynical and deflate it and walk away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does two different types of Nisan. The Ramban uses this terminology. A Nes Nigla, we've used it a few times, let's just define. A Nes Nigla and a revealed Nes, meaning actual suspension of nature, something that works against physics and chemistry. Like Kiryas Yam Suf. That's, right? Gravity was literally suspended in order for the water to just stay up. That's a Nes Nigla. A Nes Nister is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu works without overt suspension of nature. It wasn't supernatural, but it's clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu making stuff happen. Pulling the strings and organizing stuff. What sort of Nes was the Nes HaShem? Nes Nigla. A suspension of organic chemistry. That was a Nes Nigla. What type of Nes was a Nes HaMelachah? A Nes Nister. It wasn't that all of a sudden a malach came by and the Ivani soldiers just all got struck dead. But it was against all odds the Jews kept winning. Now on the one hand, a Nes Nister is weaker, quote unquote, in the sense that you might it's easier to ignore the fact that God is at work. Because I could give in to myself, whatever, it just worked out, coincidence. I could choose, sadly, to ignore Yad Hashem. So the Pnei Yeshua and Maral even more sharply, they suggest the Nes HaMelchama was necessary to accomplish the primary goal of enabling the Jews to emerge from the yoke of the Yevanim and have the freedom to practice Torah and Mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came knocking afterwards. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the main goal was accomplished. But as you were saying from different perspectives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu afterwards did a small Nes Nigla in the Beis HaMikdash. Just to say, like a sin, like you have a beautiful painting, and then most of the time you look in the bottom right corner, and there's a signature of the artist. So the beautiful painting was a Nes HaMelchama. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, signed the painting on the bottom with the Nes HaShemen. It was small, Nes Nigla, but it was small but obvious, incontrovertible, suspension of nature. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at work, you can't ignore it. That was the artist signing the painting. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, by the way, what just happened the last couple of months, in case you're wondering, that was me. That was the goal of the Nes HaShemen. The goal of Nes HaMelchama was to save us. The goal of Nes HaShemen was to explain who did it. That was God's signature on the Nes HaMelchama. And those categories, by the way, should be pretty familiar. But let's get to it. You've all heard of a very common halachic term, including Hilchos Chanukah, for explaining who. But before we get to that term, you all know it, I just want to introduce one pasuk in Tehillim. A couple years ago, it was a popular Vaya Nigan. It's in Tehillim Kuf Zayin. It appears four times. This pasuk appears four times in the 107th. Perek of Tehillim. Yodu Lashem Chazdo, V'nifla Osav, L'vnei Adam. It's the source for the idea of Birkas HaGomel and the different cases of the Karpan Todah. That Perek of Tehillim and that Pasuk repeated for a time. Yodu Lashem Chazdo, Jews who were saved in various situations, from wilderness, from sea, from prison, from captivity, or from illness, they will thank Hashem for His chesed. Yodu Lashem Chazdo. Yodu Lashem Chazdo. V'nifla Osav L'vnei Adam. They thank Hashem for His chesed. They thank Hashem for His chesed. And they tell B'nei Adam, they tell people about God's niflaos, about God's wonders. It's a pretty pasuk. But the Malbim points out there's incredible pair of ideas being conveyed very, very concisely and efficiently by this pasuk. The pasuk can talk about two different things a Jew might do after an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I might talk to Hashem, or I might address myself to people. I might say thank you to Hashem, or I might share what happened with others. When do I do which? So the Maal points out, if it's a chesed, I speak to Hashem. If it's a nifla, a pella, I speak to people. If Hashem helped me, He did chesed. He helped me. I was in a tough spot, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me, He helped me. So you say thank you. When a person helps you, you say thank you. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you, you say thank you. If it was a chesed. If it was a pella, if it was amazing, a wonder, a nes, you tell it to people. Do you know what happened? It was unbelievable. I share the insight that I got. So I would suggest that that chakira, if you will, in Machshava, that the Malbim is saying up, that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed, that sometimes a pella, sometimes it does both, and each one calls for its own response. If Hashem helped me, I say thank you to Him. If He did something amazing, whether it helped me or not, I'm going to want to tell other people about it. If you think about it, I don't believe that the Malbim relates this to Hanukkah, but I think it captures, that duality captures the two halves of the story beautifully. Which one was a chesed? When did Hashem, in which nesa Hashem help us?
The war.
The war. Right? We were stuck. The Greeks were on top of us. They were squeezing us. They were persecuting us. And Hashem saved us. So what do you do when Hashem saves you? Ah, exactly. You say thank you. Now, the Nes Hashem, and Hashem didn't say. That was exactly the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha. Why did God do that Nes? We didn't need it. And the answer was, it wasn't. The Nes Hashem was not a chesed. The Nes HaMochama was a chesed. The Nes Hashem was a pele. Hashem didn't save us, but He did something incredible. He made Himself obvious. We saw Hashem at work in the Nes Hashem. A Nes Negla, suspension. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Wow! So, when Hashem helps you, you say thank you to Him. When Hashem might not help you, but does something obviously miraculous, you tell others, Niflo Sava Vnei Adam, which is exactly what we said Pnei Yeshua and Maharal had said. The goal of the Nes HaMochama was to actually save us. The goal of the Nes HaShema was to communicate to us that Hashem is at work. It was the divine signature on the painting. And what do we do in response? We continue that by... What do we call? What's the halachic term for Pirsume Nisa? Exactly. Pirsume Nisa is the goal of Hadlakas HaMenorah. We want to advertise to the world that Kadosh Baruch Hu has our back. To advertise to the world that Kadosh Baruch Hu is at work in the world. That life is not random. We reject secular humanism. We reject scientific materialism. We believe that there's more life than what you see. There's a physical world created by a supernatural, spiritual God. And there's more than meets the eye. That's Pirsume Nisa. That's Nifla Osad Levnei Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling that to us. He was telling us with the Nes Hashem, I'm here, and I'm running the show. And we, in turn, continue to share that message. Nifla Osad Levnei Adam. That's the Nes Hashem. And now, Rabbi Osai, we're just about ready to put all the pieces together and come back to our original question. Our original question was, how come, if there are two halves to the story, Nes HaMelchama and then Nes HaShem, how come in Modim, in Al HaNisim, we basically just focus on the Nes HaMelchama? While in my Chanukah, we basically just focus on Nes HaShem. And now, things begin to fall into place. With added perspective, and by zooming out and beginning to develop more tools, in this case, tools of Agada, tools of Machshava, categories of thought, all of a sudden now things begin to fall into place. And by looking at how the Pnei Yeshua and Maharal solved their second problem, why wasn't it a Nes Hashem at all? And putting that in the context of the Malbim, on Tehillim Kuf Zayin, so let's go step by step. A number of you just said, well, now I know why in Al HaNisim, the focus on Nes HaMelchama, because what's the context? As many of you said before, it's Hodah, right? It's every single day I say Modim. Every single day I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking care of us in countless ways. Every once in a while, I go beyond the generic everyday thank you, whether it's in the thank you bracha in Shemoneh Esrei, which is Modim, or the thank you bracha in benching, which is Noda. Right? Both are brachas of Hodah, Modim, Nodilcha. In both of them, I expand on the general thank you when it comes to Hanukkah and Purim. I add a specific thank you for what happened in this season. So the thank you aspect of Hanukkah is not Nes HaShem. There's no thank you there. That's not a chesed. The thank you is Nes HaMelchama. You saved our skin. We mentioned, at the end of Al HaNisim, we mentioned there was a return to the Beis HaMikdash. There was Hadlakas HaMenorah, but that's not a thank you focus. That's not going to be elaborated on in Al HaNisim. Al HaNisim focuses on the Nes HaMelchama in great, beautiful, exquisite detail. And meanwhile, and now let's come back to the Gemara, the Brisa, my Chanukah, and there the focus was only on the Nes HaShem. Why is that? So one final piece of information that you need, and then that will fall into place as well. It's not Hodah, but why not tell both halves of the story? Why only the Nes HaShem? So the answer is perhaps twofold. Maybe the reason why that source is quoted is, as you said, it's in the context of of the sugyas of Hadlakas HaMenorah, and now we see Hadlakas HaMenorah corresponds more specifically to the Nes Hashem, and not only because, well, that's what Hadlakas HaMenorah commemorates, but also the Nes Hashem was really the Pirsumei Nisa, the Pirsum-oriented Nes. But what does the Brisa itself? So I understand that's why the Gemara is interested in highlighting Nes Hashem. Why does that Brisa itself focus on Nes Hashem? Well, you have to know, if you learn Masech, those who learn Masechas Tanis know that there was a very, very ancient work of the Torah Shuvah Peh. According to some, it may have been the first piece of Torah Shuvah Peh to be committed to writing, is Megillas Tanis. It's a sefer, a written sefer, that dates back to the days of the Baal Sheni. It was a calendar. It was a written record of all the different Yamim Tovim Midrabanan that the Chachmei Hadoros had instituted over the course of the Baal Sheni. And why were they instituting Yamim Tovim throughout the course of the Baal Sheni? And why haven't we heard of any of them except for Hanukkah and Purim? The answer is, you see from the Chumash that it's appropriate to celebrate when there's a starting or a restarting or an enhancement of the Beis HaMikdash or what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash. So over the course of the Baal, you have the Miluim, and when they start the Mishkan, and then you have every time they inaugurated one of the Batei Mikdash, there was a simcha there as well, a very significant simcha. So over the course of the period of the Baal Sheni, whenever there was some significant improvement or some significant repair to the Beis HaMikdash or to how Avoda was being done in the Beis HaMikdash, they made a Yom Tov. They made a Yom Tov. That's what Megillas Tanis is all about. Most of them ceased. I think the Sugin Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, most of the Yom Tovim ceased once the second base of Mikdash was destroyed. Chanukah and Purim have meaningfulness even beyond the second base of Mikdash. But the focus of Megillas Tanis is the Yom Tovim of the enhancement of the base of Mikdash. And that's what gave them the right to make those Yom Tovim. My Chanukah, as you learn that Gemara, you notice it's like a unique type of Aramaic. It's the ancient Aramaic of Megillas Tanis. It's a quote from Megillas Tanis. This is the presentation of Megillas Tanis about Hanukkah. So it's not surprising at all. It's not a Hodah context. So there's nothing wrong with having both halves of the story, but Megillas Tanis is a Beis HaMikdash-centered sefer. So it's not surprising that the presentation in my Hanukkah is the Nes HaMelchama is the backdrop. Once they won the Milchama, here's what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. The focus, my Hanukkah, is a Beis HaMikdash-centric sefer. So, of course, the telling of the story, is going to be what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash. And then, so that's why my Hanukkah was written the way it was during the period of the Baal Sheni, probably very soon after the Nes Hanukkah occurred, soon after Chazal created the Yom Tov Hanukkah, they wrote an entry about Hanukkah in the Megillas Tanis, which was a live sefer they kept adding to over the course of those centuries as they added new Yom Tovim. Centuries later, the Amoraim in Masechet Shabbos choose to quote, when they ask my Hanukkah, they choose to quote the my Hanukkah story rather than the Al Nisim story, because for their context, and the Nes HaShemen is more significant, not because the Gemara is not so based on Mikdash focus, that sugya is not based on Mikdash focus necessarily, but that sugya is Pirsumei Nisa focused. And Nes HaShemen, with the attendant commemoration of the Hadlakas HaNeres Chanukah, that's Nifla Osa Livnei Adam. And if you think about it, and you look at this whole, zoom out, and spend a moment thinking about this whole picture, so Chanukah is a very, very rich Yom Tov. And Chanukah, we experience Chanukah as kids. And Chanukah is for kids. But like many parts of Yad that you meet as a little child, you know, Bereishis is certainly for children. It's also certainly not only for children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give Chumash Bereishis just for little kids. So little kids can understand it. A five-year-old can understand it at a five-year-old's level. But clearly there's a lot more to be appreciated as you mature. And the same is true for Purim, the same is true for Pesach, the same is true for Hanukkah. We meet, if we had the blessing, if we enjoyed the blessing of meeting Hanukkah the first time as little children, it's a great bracha, but there's also a potential cost. Because we run the risk of going through life with a five-year-old's understanding of Hanukkah. And that would be a shame. When you're 5 years old, you should have a five-year-old's understanding of Hanukkah. It's age-appropriate. When you're 15 or 25 or 55 or 85, there's so much more to be appreciated. So sometimes part of the way you can really dig in, appreciate more of a yontif is by preparing yourself in your mind and your heart in advance. So we just spent the last half hour learning about a little bit about some of the sugyas of Hanukkah. We touched on a couple of kashas, key kashas, and those detailed questions open up larger vistas for us. And all of a sudden, we think about what's Hanukkah about. So yes, we'll play jail with your little siblings, and maybe we'll get some Hanukkah out, and that's all lovely. And you'll stare into the Neirus, and you'll think about these twin ideas about the ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us, and the ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is evident in our lives. Sometimes they overlap, but sometimes they don't. And the need to both be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the need to spread our clarity about HaKadosh Baruch Hu with other people. We have particular ways of doing both of those on Hanukkah. We say Ahanisim to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should, when we say Modim, think about the fact that we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this. And we light Neiros HaMenorah, Niflo Sotav Ne'adonti, Mefarsim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in history and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in the world. And the goal of, we'll close with a Yiddish line, but I will translate into English, don't worry, but got to say Yiddish first. The founding Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, Yitzchok Huttner, known as a very insightful and witty man. So he said, at the end of a Yom Tov, end of a Hanukkah, end of a Pesach, a Jew's attitude can't be nished, nach Yom Tov avek. It can't be another Yom Tov gone by, nor, but instead, nach Yom Tov arayin, nach Yom Tov gone in. When Yom Tov is over, when Hanukkah is over, it'll just be pleasant memories and some presents on the shelf. Or it went through me, and although the calendar keeps ticking forward, but I'm different. The other didn't just go over my shoulder, and now it's just in the rearview mirror. The other went through me, and it changed me and polished me and gave me more clarity in a certain way. So that I'm looking for opportunities even after Hanukkah in everyday, less exciting, less glitzy life, to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to share my clarity in positive ways with others, and that my modim should not just be special on Hanukkah, but the week after and the month after also, that when I say modim, I'm actually saying thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hanukkah is an opportunity for us to absorb this pasuk, Yodu Hashem Chasdo, V'niflo Sav L'vnei Adam, to bring the power of the two half stories of Hanukkah to give us more clarity about Hanukkah, and Mitzvah Hashem to give us more koach going forward. Rabbi said, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Look forward, Mitzvah Hashem, to having other opportunities to learn together as well.